Good morning. It is good to be here today. I'm excited. We had an incredible weekend with the youth. The altars were full. We had people coming from all over. We had the baptismal full. It was a powerful weekend, and God is doing something in the youth. There's a few things different, though. This is my first time preaching here without pastor sitting right there. What a good man. I'd get done preaching every time, and he'd come up and say, "How old are you? How do you get that faith preaching like that?" It really encouraged me. But what a good example of a man that ran the race. Amen. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. So, yeah, let's get started. We're mourning with you guys and praying with your church during that season. And so thank you so much, Generation Church, for always having Kingdom here. We've been here since 2016, and you guys are family. So thank you so much for standing with us. Thank you for just Pastor Scott. Your team is incredible. So thank you to this church. Brian came from Tennessee with us. Thank you, Brian, for your help. And where did he go? Lauren. Lauren, the rapture happened, and Lauren's the only one that made it. Thank you for Lauren helping with the sound, the ladies back there. I think there's somebody else that helped, too. I can't see. Guess not. Just kidding, John. This is John's 147th youth conference he's put on. So thank you to John for putting this on. I have never met more of a youth in my life than John, so thank you so much. Even though you make fun of me, I love you. And thank you, my mom came all the way with. She's helped. She runs the ministry. I just get to speak, so it was a great weekend. God has been really doing a lot in the youth and a lot with the conferences, but he's also been doing some new things. Since we've been here, I have a devotional that is Faith Like a Mustard Seed. It is 40-day devotional to build your faith. It is 40 of my messages broken down into a 20-minute devotional. I do have the book back there, Does God Still Heal? That is in the back as well. If you guys want to pick up any books, they'll be there in the back. Since I've been here, we also did a reality show. So we were just on Angel TV, and we are in the process of getting that up on Angel TV. We just did our first pilot. And so be praying, because it's called Get Lit. And those of you that thought that was bad, shame on you. I know who you are. No. It's about getting on fire for Jesus. Amen. And so we're showing the light of God in the goodness all over the country. And so we get in a motorcycle and a sidecar, and we're traveling the country showing how different people are doing different ministries in their way and taking church outside of the four walls and into the community. And so Get Lit will be up on Angel Studios, our program, very shortly. So God has been opening up some doors of just shining a light to stop youth conferences. No, to hopefully do more youth conferences. Amen. So that's what we've been up to. I'm going to talk today about hope. Did you know we're living in a pretty crazy season? And it's a wild world. I don't even want to go on social media anymore. I did a video that was how to win every argument on social media, and I'm just looking at my phone, and then I just chuck it in the garbage. Like, there's so much happening in the world, and we're called to have hope. The problem is, news doesn't travel unless it's bad news, right? You never hear something unless it's negative. You never turn on the news and they're like, hey, you know, this many people didn't get divorced today. Amen. We want to report there was zero deaths in Oklahoma today. Good job, everybody. It's only the negative stuff that you hear. We were doing a youth event in North Carolina, and my kids were a little bit younger, but we came down, I think it was CNN was on, in the lobby of the hotel we were getting breakfast, and we don't even have TV. so they don't watch the news. But we're sitting there, and it was something about a storm coming through and how many people were wiped out. And then there was a murder on the loose. And then there was something else that some lady had died and different things. And my kids looked at me and they said, "Dad, can we leave North Carolina? Does everybody die here?" And I'm like, just thinking of that perception from a kid listening to the news for the first time of, I'm terrified. Can we get out of this? But that's what we all do all the time. We feed ourselves with the negative. You know, we're called to have hope, but the problem is that hope that we have today isn't biblical hope. It's 2026 hope. It's, I hope it happens. You know, I can go up to my daughter and be like, "Man, it's sunny outside. It's going to be a great day." I hope so. I hope it'll be a good day. It could rain. You see, our hearts are conditioned to the negative. I have so many people come up and say, doesn't hear me. I pray to him and he doesn't hear me. Now, don't hear what I'm not saying. You say, all right, then say something bad about God. He doesn't hear you. Say something bad. I can't. Why not? He'll hear me. He'll hear the negative, but if I'm praying, he can't hear me. He's looking for the fault in me and not the good in me. We're prone to the negative. We were with this, we first did music. There was a band back then, you probably don't know, but maybe some of the younger people. There's a band called Hawk Nelson. They went for a long time, but they had just gotten started. They were from Canada, but all they did in Canada was watch American news. So they said, we want to be in a band so bad, and we want to play in America, but we just don't want to go to America. It's scary. It's like, everybody has a gun. Do you have a gun on you right now? I'm like, yeah, 12. But welcome to Texas. But they're like, is it really that dangerous over there? Is it that bad? Because they're just listening to our news. Funny or not funny, I don't know. Their first tour, they came over. They did their first show. They went to Waffle House and somebody came in and robbed it. I mean, they're telling me the story. I'm trying not to laugh, but it's like, but you're okay, right? But they're prone to the negative. It's like, all we see, all we can feel is the negative. We have a good expectation of the negative. Do you know that biblical hope, the hope that is there in the Greek is elpis? Like Elvis, but instead of the V, a P. Elpis. And that definition is a good expectation of the good in your life. The good expectation of what God's going to do. 2026, that's not our hope. We come to the altar for our miracle. I hope he does something. I hope he shows up. Lay hands on the sick and they will recover. I hope so. It's almost a negative. Our hope today is counterproductive. What comes first, though? Because you read in 1 Corinthians 13:13, it says, these three abide, faith, hope, and the greatest of these is, but we're not going to talk about love today. But you can see in this verse that there's faith, hope, and love. You know there's a difference between faith and hope? It's hard, and I started to try to wrap my brain around this. What is there a difference? Like, faith, I believe it's going to happen. Hope, I hope it happens. They're kind of the same thing. And you get into Hebrews 11:1. Hebrews 11:1 is a famous verse, and it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of the unseen. So what comes first? Faith is the substance of things. So hope comes first. Before we can have faith, we have to have hope. Faith is a substance. Substance means a physical matter or material. What do you mean? Show me some faith. I can't see faith. You can see faith. Because you get to James and it says faith without works is dead. So faith isn't works as in I need to work to get to my salvation. But he says, show me your faith and I'll show you my faith by my works. It's an action step. So it means that faith is a physical matter or material. Of what? The hope for. I believe for something. I've got my hope. A good expectation of the good that God is going to do. And so I'm going to put my faith in it. I'm going to put my action step to it. What does an action step to your hope mean? It means, like Abraham, calling himself the father of many nations before he was the father of many nations. It was faith. A couple that is believing for a child, instead of just sitting there saying, I hope it happens, they go and get the room ready. They go and buy baby clothes. They go and paint what colors they're believing for because they've got faith of a good expectation of a promise of God. People in a wheelchair, I hope that I could walk one day. How about buy some shoes? An action step. Something that says, I will show you my faith by my works. What are you going to do? Let's look at Romans really quick. And by really quick, I could take my time. Romans 4, 17 through 22. It says this, because oftentimes I talk about hope, and the first thing I say is, yeah, but you don't know what I'm going through. I didn't ask you what you're going through. I said, what do you hope for? What are you believing for? What can you see? Can you see the victory before the victory's there? That's hope. Well, you don't know what the doctor said. They said it's impossible. I don't care what the doctor said. What did you say? Better than that, what did he say? Because that's bigger than all of it. Romans 4:17 says this, as it is written, I have made you the father of many nations in the presence of him who has believed. God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Who, contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken. And your descendants shall be. And it keeps going on in this, but it talks about contrary to hope, hope still remained. We talk about the impossible things. We don't want to believe or have hope for the stuff that's impossible because it's too difficult. Abraham was 100 and some years old. Contrary to hope, in hope believed. Why? What did God do? Abraham, I need you to believe me. You're going to be the father of many nations. God, my body's 100 years old. It's impossible. John, I think I got a word. You're going to be the father of many nations right now. Can you stand on to that promise? And think about Abraham and Sarah, 100 and some years old, and God's giving them this promise. It's contrary to hope. I don't care what your situation is. It could be contrary to hope, but in hope, believed. And he became the father. But what did God do to him? He said, Abraham, come on. Come outside your tent. Come outside. Look at the stars in the sky. Can you count them? That's how your descendants are going to be. Abraham, look at the sand. Look at the sand. I need you to see something in the natural so you can get a picture of what I'm talking about. I need you to see something to believe it. Can you see yourself better before you're better? I need you to see yourself well so you can have faith in it. It's a promise of God, but I need you to see yourself victorious before the victory is there. If you see yourself defeated, the victory never comes. If you see yourself like, how am I ever going to get through this, God? You stay in that situation. So he's trying to give us a look at the word of God. Look at the word of God. Believe, believe, believe. And then we see it. And we can see what his promises says. All of his promises are yes and amen. I can see that by his stripes I was healed. I can see that he's my provider. I can see that he's my savior, my Lord, that he loves my children more than I love my children. That he's the restorer and the redeemer. And now I can see it. So now I can vision myself in that victory. And I can attach my faith. And now the evidence of my breakthrough is my faith is here. It's backwards. We want to say, I hope it happens. God, do something so I can believe. God, I hope maybe it'll happen. And if it does happen, I'll put my faith to it. That's why we're not winning. Because we believe what our God said first. We can see it. Look at Hebrews Hebrews 6:11. Well, let's go back really quick. Put your finger in Hebrews 6:11. Then turn back to Ephesians 1:18. Ephesians 1:18. It says, "The eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what is the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints." The eyes of your understanding. You see, the victory is right here. Can you see your victory before? And I'm not talking about the world's spooky, mystic, manifest something, whatever, but God's promises. Can you see it? The God that calls those things that be not as though they were. The God that will show you something. You think you have an imagination for nothing? He's saying, "Now see yourself as the father of many nations. First, Abraham, put your face to that and watch me work. See yourself healed before. See your family restored. See your marriage being mended beforehand." Don't just sit there and say, "He's never going to change." No, I see our marriage healthy. I see us victorious. I see us serving God together. I see us, for me and my house, we will serve the Lord before it's ever there. And I'm going to put my faith in that promise and then watch the breakthrough. It's a process. Now, flip back to where your finger was already there. Hebrews 6:11, it says this, "And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those that through faith and patience inherit the promise." We do not want to talk about faith and patience this morning. It talks about full assurance of hope. Not being sluggish until the time is end. When does that mean? And our 2026 minds will think, "I'm just going to sit here and hope until it ends. I'll sit here and hope, and then one day it'll be the by and by." No, I hope until it ends. The situation ends. My sickness ends. Whatever my problem in it ends, I stand in the full assurance of hope with perseverance until the situation ends. It's different. Keep going into Hebrews 6. Jump down into 13 and go through 20. And it says this, "For when God made a promise to Abraham." So who's he talking to? Abraham. He's not talking to me yet. "When God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by none greater, he swore by himself, saying, 'Surely blessing, I will bless you, and multiplying, I will multiply you.'" When you look into the Greek or the Hebrew, when it has a double like that, a blessing, I will bless you, or multiplying, I will multiply you, when it reiterates it, it's a multiplier. It means it doesn't stop. It's just continual. So what he's saying to here is not, "I'm going to bless you once, bless you twice, good luck." It's, "My blessing is with you. My multiplying is with you. I'm with you, Abraham." So he's talking about this. He's not talking to me. He's not talking to you. He's talking to Abraham. Sorry about that. But let's keep reading. "And so after he had patiently endured," there again, we don't want to read that. "Patiently endured," it says he obtained the promise. God had a promise. He didn't get his son. But he patiently endured until he got his son. He had hope until he got his son. We have a message. We have a verse. We hear Pastor Scott, you know, preach his lungs out. And we're like, "I believe," until it's Monday morning and it hasn't happened. "I quit. It doesn't work." Microwave Jesus. Through faith, patiently endured until the end, until the promise, until there's Isaac. Thank you, God. But then it says this, "For men indeed swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is for them to end all disputes." So God's talking about men, and he's saying, there's an oath. You guys have oaths and promises. You swear by the greater. And because you do that, you end all disputes. So you come together, and you're like, "Well, I don't know if you're telling the truth. Let's make an oath together. Let's swear by the greater thing." All right, now we're secure, right? God's saying, "I see what you're doing. I'm going to do that too. But since I can't find none greater, I'll swear by myself." It says this, "To end all disputes." Somebody say, "End all disputes." "Thus God determining to show himself more abundantly to the heirs of promise. Now he's talking about me. Now he's talking about you. Abraham got the multiplier. Blessing, I will bless you, and multiplying, I will multiply you. But to the heirs, more abundantly than what Abraham got. You want what Abraham got? No, thank you. I get more than what Abraham got. Because God swore by an oath to end all disputes. You think your breakthrough isn't coming? He gave you an oath that he could swear by, that God cannot lie. It says this, heirs of promise that is immutable of his counsel, which means he's not going to go back on it, confirmed by an oath that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation. Not, I hope it happens. Strong consolation. Who have fled the refuge to lay hold of this hope set before us. This hope we have as an anchor to the soul, both sure and steadfast, which enters the presence behind the veil. Therefore, or where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become our high priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. That God should not lie. He made an oath by himself saying, listen, I see what you're doing. Let me just promise to you, God doesn't have to swear. He doesn't have to swear. But he's saying, because I see this means a lot to you, I'm going to swear, but I'm going to swear by myself because I cannot lie. The blessing I will bless you and multiply, and I will multiply you, but to your heirs even more so, Abraham. Why? How do we get more than Abraham? He was blessed in his property, blessed in everything that he did. He had blessings like crazy. How do we have more? Because we have the Holy Spirit. Abraham had provision. We get the provider. Abraham got healing. We get the healer. Abraham didn't have the Spirit of God on the inside of him. So now there's a multiplier on the inside of you. Strong consolation, the hope that is on the inside, the hope of glory. He swore and put his Spirit on the inside of you to help you when you are weak, to help you when you don't have hope, to help you when you have 2026 hope. I hope that it happens. No, lift up your head. Believe again, hope again, dream again. Can you see the victory? Because you've got to envision yourself. You've got to dream again. You've got to see yourself running through the halls of the church. Before you're ever running through the halls of the church. Amen? That's the hope that's biblical hope. It talks about the anchor. He's going through this promise. He's going through what he has. But then he says, this hope, the promise that God just made, is the hope that we have. But it's also an anchor. Now, we don't like to talk about anchors, but back then, anchors were a symbol of Christianity. They had crosses on them. They had all kinds of stuff on the anchor because it was a Christian symbol. And we think of these anchors as, you know, we always joke in the ministry that my mom is my anchor. I'd like to fly away, but she holds me down. But that's not what it's talking about here at all. An anchor, which is you, okay, in a good way, would be an anchor that it's talking about on the ship. Now, as Christians, sometimes we're like, what's going to happen? What's coming next? But an anchor doesn't mean that it's going to be smooth sailings. In fact, an anchor says it could be rough out there and you need an anchor. An anchor is preparing for a storm. An anchor says there's a storm coming. Because when the storm comes and the wind waves, I don't need you to be crashing here and there. I need you to stay grounded. I need you to stay steady in the storm. An anchor of hope means it is coming. But you'll be all right. Because your hope is there and you're anchored down, which means you're not going to be tossed around by your emotions. Whenever you get a bad report, you don't have to be crashing against the rocks in the wind and the waves. You've got hope as an anchor that says, my God said this, so I'm going to believe it. And then my faith comes, so I don't have to be thrown away. And how many people are double-minded, unstable in all your waves, like a wind tossed to and fro, waves? How can they receive anything from God? Why? Because if everything is done by faith and our faith is thrown all over the place, I hope that it happens, God. That's tough to get a breakthrough. But the Bible says the biblical hope, the good expectation of the good, I see it in his word, so I'm excited it's going to happen. I'm excited it's going to happen because he doesn't lie. So this is a written promise. The Bible is a written contract for me. If he said it, I believe it. So I'm going to have hope. So I'm going to see my breakthrough before my breakthrough happens. And that is my anchor in the storm. It doesn't mean I've got hope there will be no storm. No, I've got hope. And when the storm comes, I'll be grounded. Amen? Go to Romans. Romans 8, 23. And we'll go through 26. Not only that, but we also have the first fruits of the Spirit. That's what I was talking about, the greater. We've got the Spirit now. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly awaiting for the adoption, the redemption of our bodies. For we were saved in this hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. We want to hope when we see it. Show it to me, God, I want to believe. No, if you see it, it's not hope at all. The hope comes first. It says, the hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly await for it with perseverance. This is biblical hope. We eagerly await with excitement. Go back to faith like a child. You wake up on Christmas morning. You're excited to run down and get your presents, right? Not because you think that there's nothing but coal in there. You're excited about the good that was given. So you're eagerly waiting. Go wake up your parents. Can we go get it? Is it here? Is it time? It's going to be good. Christians are like, well, it could be good. It could be bad. We'll see. I'm a whipping post for the Lord. An eager expectation of the good because it's the goodness of God. Amen? An expectation of, I can't wait to see what he does. I'm excited to see what he does. Man, we're the opposite. We get a phone call of, hey, you got this bill that's overdue. You could lose everything. We're like, ah, we're going to lose everything. Instead of, oh, I can't wait to see what God does in this situation. What? You gave me a bad report, doctor? I'm so excited. Why are you excited? I just don't know how God's going to show up, but he will. A good expectation of the good. That's the hope. And when you start to see yourself victorious, your faith can attach to it. And even faith like a mustard seed can move a mountain. The problem is we think that we have faith, we think that we have hope, but we have 2026 hope. We'll see what happens. Maybe it will. It is what it is. Right? You ever look at the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000? What were they looking at? I think the whole thing is today, what are you looking at? The doctor's report is there. It is true. It is accurate. We are not ostriches for the Lord and we put our head in the sand. We acknowledge that this, but then we go to the word and acknowledge that this is greater than this. We're not ignoring. We're just believing. You have the Jesus feeding the 5,000, and his disciples come up and they said, Lord, where is their eyes? We've got 5 loaves and 2 fish, but what is this? They're looking at the loaves and the fish amongst so many. I'm going to look at the lack and the problem. You know, if you look at the lack and the problem, there's no solution. Lord, what am I going to do? I can look at my bank account and the doctor's report. What is this? Or Jesus, he said, have them sit down. He didn't even address them. Now, did Jesus have to pray? He could have said, I'll bless this. But I think he did this to show he could have even looked down because he was full of the Holy Spirit and prayed. But instead, he looked to the heavens. He looked to the sky. And he said, I thank you, God. And I think he was doing this for us to show us where our source comes from. I don't have to look at the 5,000. I don't have to look at the lack here. I can look at the solution. And when I look at the solution, he began to break the bread and pass it out. And the solution was more than enough to feed everybody and have 12 baskets left over. Because I'm looking at the source and not the situation. I'm fixating my mind so I can have hope. I'm picturing the goodness of God instead of how bad this world can really be, the negative of the news. I love talking about the Israelites. They're funny people to me. They get out of years, hundreds of years of slavery. They get into the desert and they're like, we should go back and die. They celebrate. Oh, there's an ocean. We should go back and die. God parts the seas. They walk across. They start to celebrate and sing. And they look around. We have nothing to eat. We should go back and die. God comes with quail, feeds them, and manna. They eat. They see the power of God show up in 10 plagues throughout Egypt. Everything happening. They're like, we should go back and die. We've got nothing to drink. Water comes from a rock and feed 2 million people, have something to drink. What did it make the greatest lake of all times? I don't know. We should just go back and die for the Lord. It's funny because God's plan was like, he had it all mapped out. He had it all planned out. The sea didn't take him by surprise. They're like, the sea's here, Lord. And he's like, what? I never thought about this. What are we going to do? Michael, help. What? They come up to the promised land. And God says, go in and take the promised land. And Moses says, I've got an idea. Let's send in man to see their opinion on this. That's always a good thing. When you get something from the Lord, make sure you go get your friends and unbelievers, their opinion too. Mix it all together and see what happens. That's sarcasm. Don't actually do that, okay? Put that in your notes. Don't do this. And then put a circle, an arrow, a star. I don't know. But he's like, go in and take the land. They come back and there's 12 of them comes back, one from each of the tribes. And Caleb and Joshua says, it's good. Let's go. And the 10 said this, it is good. It is exceedingly, abundantly, above. It's more than enough. They're carrying grapes on two of their shoulders. They're like, look at what we got. And the report is, but. Here's the message today. Leave your butt out of it. They said, but we look like grasshoppers in their sight. We can't go in there and do this. This is impossible. So they didn't go in. And here's the funny part. If you had unbelief, if you had doubt, you were to be stoned back then. Caleb and Joshua said, we can do it. And they all got angry at them and were ready to stone Joshua and Caleb for saying, we can do what God said. You know, not everybody's going to be excited when you get a revelation of hope. I'm going to get better. You're crazy. God's going to show up. Don't let people tell you. Let God tell you. So they're about to stone him, and then God shows up. And he's angry. And he says, because you've done this. And he says this. It's so interesting. Man, think about this. He says, I'm going to spare Joshua and Caleb, and them and their families are going to go in. And he doesn't say, I'm going to judge you because I'm just so upset and I'm angry and I'm going to kill you all in the desert. He says this, because of what you have said. You have said you're going to die in the desert. So, okay. What do you say? All right. You get to go wander for 40 years until all of you are gone. But I'm going to spare Joshua and Caleb, and they can go in. And it comes 40 years later that Joshua and Caleb are there, and they get to go in. And it says that Joshua is as strong as he was, a man of war, back when he was first to go in. God is a restorer of time. Don't think, oh, I can't do it. It's too old. It's too late. God is the restorer of time. Jesus did ministry for 3 years. I think he did a pretty good job. You got 3 good years left in you at least. Right? But what do we believe? And I love this. Joshua goes in with Caleb, and here's how they defeated their enemies. There was giants in the land, and we look like grasshoppers. So my eyes is on them looking big and us looking like grasshoppers. This is impossible, and we cannot do it. They were looking at the 5,000 and the loaves. We can't do this. What is this against so many? They forgot to look at the source. Because when Joshua and Caleb went in, I love how they defeated. Man, they just went in with their swords, taking everybody's heads off. They were just slicing and dicing. They were taking out 400 men at a... Just kidding. You know how they won? They walked. There's Jericho. What should we do, Lord, to take the city? Walk around it. Really? That's the plan? Yep, I got a new plan in the morning. All right, walk again. What should we do? Don't talk. Don't say anything. Don't open your mouth. What about the next day? Walk. What? And then on the seventh day, 7 times, now shout. And the walls come down and the enemies take out each other. Not one person of the Israelites had to even pick up a sword to take the promised land of the giants that they were complaining about 40 years ago. You think that Moses came up there and he's like, take the land? Moses thought, how are we going to do this? God said, who said you were going to do it? You can't do it. You got a situation that you look at, God, how am I going to do that? You're not going to do it. You can't do that. You cannot heal yourself. You are not your provider. You are not your source. You are not your savior. But can you walk after me? Can you walk? I love how God wins the victories. It really shows how little we have to play in things. What do you have? You have hope. That's an anchor. You have faith. He's got the victory. They could have taken that land at any time. This is your situation. I don't know what your situation is. And you're trying to think, how do I fight this? How do I win? How can I be victorious in this situation? And if there's any other answer, then you can't. You missed it. You cannot get rid of cancer on your own. You cannot fill up your bank account by saying abracadabra. You cannot. What can you do? You can rely on him as your source, him as your provider, him as your healer, him as your savior, your Lord, your whatever. What is your job? Your job is to see the victory beforehand. See the walls coming down while they're still standing. While there's giants, look at the source. And you'll see your situation as the grasshopper, and your God is the giant that's about to squash it. Amen. Here's what biblical hope is. Biblical hope is rooted in God's character. It's rooted in God's promises and in the finished works of Jesus. It is not, I hope God comes through. It's, God has already come through, so I expect the good. That is biblical hope. This is why Christian hope produces peace in chaos, joy in pressure, and stability in uncertainty. Did you know that the name Jesus in English goes back from the word Yeshua? Yeshua is the Hebrew. Actually, we get Joshua from as well. You know, Moses brought us the law, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. The promised land was actually entering into his rest, but Moses said to go in, but Moses was never going to take them in, never get into rest or the promised land through the law. but only through Jesus, Yeshua, Joshua took him in. But the Hebrew word here for Yeshua is Yeho, and that is Yahweh, where we get Lord, and Shua, meaning, or Yesha, so you put them together, to save, deliver, and to rescue. So the name of Jesus literally is the Lord who will save, deliver, and rescue. That's the name Jesus. This is why Isaiah 12:2, it says, the Lord has become my Savior, my Yeshua. Matthew 1:21, it says, you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. It's in his title. You can have a hope, a good expectation. It's in his name. It's not something that he does. It's who he is. I was watching Spider-Man the other day. Write that down, Spider-Man. With my kids, and it was No Way Home. And his girlfriend, I don't really know her name, Mary, I don't know. The new one, MJ. See, gold star for you. MJ. They're in this battle, and we were watching this last week, and her saying is, if you don't hope for anything, you can't be let down. And she says it over and over in the show. And they're about to go in the battle, and they think they're going to lose. And remember, if you don't hope, you won't be let down. If you don't expect good, you can never be crushed. I'm like, get behind me, Satan. But the world will teach you, don't get your hopes up because you'll get crushed. And that is a lie from the pit of hell. Because the devil knows that if you get your hopes up, there's a good expectation of the good, and you attach your faith to it, you're coming out. You're breaking through the situation. You don't have to sit there. So, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I walk through it. I don't stand in it. Yea, that I go on a camping trip in the valley of the shadow of death, this hurts, Lord. No, walk through it. Too many times we, as a church, what we do is we get our congregations and we're like, all right, we're going to go through it in life. We're going to put your boots on. You're going to hike over that mountain, get your camping gear. We're going to climb the mountain. We're going to fight. It doesn't say climb the mountain. It says speak to the mountain and the mountain be removed. We're going to hike over this mountain. Let's get ready. It's going to be a rough season. No, speak to the mountain and the mountain be removed. What do you believe? The world's hope says, don't get your hopes up, or it'll be crushed. But Romans 5:5 says this, now hope does not disappoint. Spider-Man needs to read his Bible. Hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who is given to us. Abraham had a promise. We had much more promise, the Holy Spirit on the inside. The power to even hope. The power to even believe. The power living on the inside of you to say we are more than conquerors. The devil wants you to say, get up, give up, quit, sit down, it's done. You're too old, you're too weak, your season has passed. Abraham, going into the last, his eyes were not dim and he was not weak. Our bodies are getting older. We will all die. Amen? But it doesn't mean we have to decay. Getting a hope of the good expectation of God's promises. What is his promises? All of them are yes and amen. The thing is the greatest thing that we're talking about today is, what do you see? How do you see yourself? I love Jesus walking with his disciples. And he's walking with them, and he asks the question, who do people say that I am? And they're like, well, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, some one of the prophets. He starts going through this, and he stops them. Who do you say that I am? And Peter loves to speak up first, always. And says, you're Christ, the Messiah. He says, Peter, man didn't teach this to you, but only God himself has revealed this. You see, it doesn't matter what I tell you this morning. It really doesn't. Hopefully it encourages you. It doesn't matter what Pastor Scott tells you about God and who he is. It's great and it's powerful, and hopefully it gets you into the Word of God. The only thing that matters is, who do you say he is? Because we can give you the Bible, and it's 100% true and accurate. But what are you going to do with it? Get to heaven. Lord, Ryan's revelation was, it's like, who do you say that I am? Well, Ryan said you were my Savior, but am I your Savior? Am I your healer? Am I your provider? Or did you just hear a good message? Hope doesn't disappoint. Biblical hope. We get it up. And so we get to this spot of the greatest thing ever for us to do. And now all scriptures coming together into this thought of take every thought captive. Because as a man thinks, so he is. Our battle is right here. How do I have hope when I see myself defeated? Problems right here. How can I have faith when I don't see it? Problems right here. So we got to get back to the Word of God. Romans 12:2 tells us to don't be conformed, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And then we come to church and we say, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. God bless you guys. Have a wonderful day. And people are like, what does that mean though? Okay, I'm going to go read the Bible. Did you know that reading the Bible is not really renewing your mind? It can be. Don't kick me out yet. But listen, I know too many Christians who are in depression reading the Bible. And they do a lot of this. Lord, lead me today where you want me to read. I'm struggling with anxiety and fear. The book of Job. All right. Well, what? What is renewing your mind? I'm just struggling that I'm not good enough. Let's start in Deuteronomy. We'll go to Leviticus and we'll see what happens. Jesus wept, and I'm weeping too. Thank you, Lord. No, renewing your mind means, what are you struggling with? What are you struggling with? Is it anxiety? Is it fear? Depression? Is it a sickness? Is it finances? Is it your marriage? Because there's a promise in the Word of God. So renewing your mind means, what am I being attacked in the situation? And I got to go get my ammo. I got to go get my promise. So I'm going to renew my mind that he's my healer if that's what I need. I need to go renew my mind that he's my, you know, provision. I need to know what he thinks about my marriage and that he's brought two together, and what man can't separate what God's brought together. Amen? And so I need to renew my mind to that. I got a prodigal child. Okay, I'm going to go see how much he loves my children more and that the word doesn't return void. And you're going to fight that way, the good fight of faith. But instead of freaking out, I'm going to see the victory first. I'm going to see that it's all done. I'm going to see his promise. I'm going to renew my mind. I'm going to then hope for it because I see it. And now I can see the victory. Now my faith can attach to something. It's hard. It's hard to have faith in something until there's something. This is why we even have communion. Do something in the natural to remember what he did in the supernatural. Why do you think Jesus was like, you know, go wash in the water? that pond water with the mud, the snake by it, that's going to heal me? No, but I need you to do something in the natural. I need you to do something to attach your faith to. I need you to see something first so you can have some faith. Pick up your mat. Walk. But I'm... do something. This hope does not disappoint. Biblical hope. 2026 hope will let you down every time. I hope he shows up. I hope that it happens. I'm going to come to the altar. We'll see what happens. It is what it is. We can have the worship team come up, or keys, or whatever we do. I'm going to close with this. We're talking through a lot of this. We really want to make excuses and put our lives in there of like, yeah, but my situation's different. Abraham believed God against hope, when there was no hope, contrary to hope, had hope because he had a promise. And he made a covenant with Abraham, but much more even you, and placed his Holy Spirit on the inside of you. A lot of times we don't think that we should get our breakthrough, our healing, our miracle, and it comes with self-condemnation because we'd rather think he's looking for the bad in me than he hears my prayers. Well, he knows what I've been struggling with, so it's probably not now, but once I fix myself, man, if you could have fixed yourself, you would have done it by now. So this year I've been preaching on holiness and been teaching on the grace of God. And it's scary to preach on grace the way that Paul did, because then you get the same questions that Paul got. So you're saying we can do whatever? No, God forbid. But the grace of God is that bridge to get you into your victory. And I'm talking about the holiness and the righteousness, because it's hard to hope for something and have this faith that I'm talking about when you don't think you're good enough. I want to believe for that, but I'm a mess. You are righteous because he is righteous. You are holy because he is holy. Then the Holy Spirit was placed on the inside of you to transform your life. That's how you get fixed, is the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. My righteousness is self-righteousness. I'm glad that he who knew no sin took my sins that I might become the righteousness in Christ Jesus. So I can have this hope. I can have the faith because I'm in right standing. And I'm preaching this and I said, God, I don't want to preach this, because if you preach grace too hard, people sin. You know what he told me? They're already sinning. Was that a testify? Oh my God. He's like, they're already sinning. It's the goodness of God that leads to repentance. You want people to repent? Show them how good I am. Why, God? Because they're supposed to look like me. How do they know what to look like if you don't show them me? It's like a puzzle piece. You get these 1,000 pieces. You put the box up so you know what you're working with, what you're trying to build. The problem is we don't look at the cover. We throw out a 1,000-piece puzzle piece and another 1,000-piece puzzle piece. We're looking at the two. How do we do this? That's what we do when we're looking at each other. We're supposed to look to him. Then we know what we're supposed to look like. We're supposed to build towards. So I'm talking to him. I'm like, God. He said, go back Old Testament. I'm like, what does that mean? He's like, look at the Mount Sinai, where I said, don't come near the mountain. Anybody comes near the mountain, they'll die. Thanks, Lord, that blessed me. Why? Because he's that holy of a God. He's that righteous and that holy. And I'm like, what are you saying? I'm really trying to figure this out. He said, now look at what I promised Abraham and what I did to you. I couldn't put my Holy Spirit in unrighteous man. They would just explode. Come near the mountain, they'll drop dead. I can't put my Holy Spirit inside of unrighteousness. But I don't feel righteous. I don't feel holy. I don't care what you feel. I care about the blood of Jesus. And he's placed that on the inside of us. Why? So that we're clean, so we can have hope, that we can have faith, that we're in right standing with the Father. Don't get me wrong, the Holy Spirit's going to work on you and chisel away those parts. All right? I'm not saying, you know, he said, go and sin no more, not go and sin some more. But I'm saying, we're right because he is. And because the blood of Jesus on your life has given you this right standing to have that hope again. And hope, biblical hope, does not disappoint. You guys can stand up. God, I thank you this morning for every person in here. God, I pray over every person right now that is in the middle of a storm. They're battling it. I don't know what it is, but the winds and waves are rocking their boat. God, I pray right now that this message would be encouragement where they would take it and apply it, and they would drop their anchor. God, whether it's healing or provision or whatever it is, God, maybe it's just mental. You've got anxiety, you've got stress, you've got fear, but God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. So we just speak a sound mind over the people of God. Thank you, Father. If there's somebody that's never accepted Jesus Christ as Lord, it says, believe in your heart and confess with your mouth and you will be saved. It's the easiest thing in the world. The hardest thing in the world is that Romans 12:2, renew your mind. God, we just bless these people today. God, begin to speak to them. Just take a moment and think about what's been rattling your world at the moment. And what is the promise that you need to go get this afternoon? To open up the Word. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thank you guys so much for letting me be here. It's been a privilege just to have Kingdom Youth here and then just to get a privilege to speak on a Sunday. It is an honor to get to preach because we live in a crazy world, so you cannot hand the microphone over to anybody. So when a pastor lets me preach, it means the world because you're saying, I trust you. And you have to. I had a pastor who'd called me, or I was at a place, and he said, will you come preach? And I said, have you heard any of my stuff? He said, no. I said, why would you do that? I trust me, but you shouldn't. Until you hear somebody, till you know what they're going to feed your sheep, right? Why would you do that? So thank you guys so much for trusting me over the years to preach. If you guys are going to give today, it's all going to Kingdom, so it's to help and bless the ministry. You write $1 million, it doesn't go to me. We're going to put it in the ministry. So thank you guys so much for all you've done. It's tough doing youth ministry, but God willing, we're going to continue to do event after event. So thank you for standing with us. I do go live every evening at 7 p.m. for a Bible study. We break down the Word of God. We got the best community. So if you want, we break down Scripture to join us ever. It's on Facebook, TikTok, YouTube, all of the above. Come say hi if you want to. But I'm going to turn it back over to the pastor. Thank you guys so much for letting me be here.